Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
It's podcast.
It certainly is. This week we return to The Gentleman's Art of Dressing with Economy by A Lounger at the Clubs.
We weren't going to let you look bad. We're going to teach you everything you need to know about dressing with economy.
For those of you just tuning in, it's a book published in 1876 as a budget fashion guide for Victorian gentlemen. And we are on Chapter 4, Boots.
Boots and Boys.
Boots and Boys.
This chapter brings me so much joy.
So much joy. Ex pede Herculem. You may gauge a great swell by his boots.
A great swell, huh?
A great swell. If this translation is too free, anyway, it has the merit of truth.
Yeah, all right, sure.
The actual translation for the Latin phrase he just dropped is, from his foot, we can measure Hercules.
I don't remember that from the Disney movie.
Or, it's an idiom meaning, we can know the whole from the part.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense.
Compare the phrase, ex ungue leonem, which is, from its claw, we can know the lion.
Oh, I like that one better.
Returning to the words of A. Lounger. Cateris paribus, the extremities of dress are most important, and if these are shabby, you must look in extremis. The actual translation is, all other things being equal.
Oh, okay, thank you.
A good hat and good boots are the alpha and omega of a well-dressed man.
Oh, that's a heavy way of saying that, sure.
That's a loaded phrase these days. Please check out the Late Bloomer episode of the Terrible Book Club podcast.
Oh, please do.
Or Lindsay Ellis's video Into the Omegaverse, if you want to know why maybe A. Lounger should have chosen a different way of phrasing that.
You know what? Give yourself a treat. Watch both.
Non qui vis contingent adire Corinthum.
He's just flexing a lot of Latin right now, huh?
All purses can't pay Piccadilly prices for shoe leather.
Well, that one's not as cool as the other ones he said so far.
Well, the actual translation is, it is not every man that can go to Corinth.
Oh, yes, okay.
Which is an idiom meaning not everyone has the same opportunities.
That's different from what A. Lounger has said.
It is. I think he's being funny.
I hope so.
Its relation to Corinthian leather is unknown, as Corinthian leather does not exist and is an advertising buzz phrase invented in 1974. Almost 100 years after A. Lounger published this tome. Now, Dee, you did mention that this seemed like a lot of gratuitous Latin.
I did, yeah, and I'll stand by that statement, it does.
Would you like to know why there is so much gratuitous Latin?
I would love to know why.
A. Lounger is attempting to prove his credentials as a gentleman.
Oh, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and say that that's actually kind of obnoxious.
Isn't it just? But yeah, learning Latin, primarily through translating Latin texts, was an important aspect of education for upper-class boys, and peppering writing with random Latin quotations was a way for writers to signal their upper-class breeding and establish that their intended audience was also gentlemen.
You know, it's one thing to pepper, but like, any condiment, you really can't just dump it all in one spot.
All gentlemen were not necessarily fluent in Latin, but they would recognize the same stock Latin phrases from their school days.
That's so, man, the more things change, the more things stay the same, huh?
Yeah. I'm not fluent in French, but I can spot any fellow Télé Français viewer out of a crowd just by yelling, je suis un ananas.
Well, okay, I mean, well, the thing is, I've known you long enough that now I can, too.
But returning to A. Lounger. Now, if you purchase boots promiscuously, that is, anywhere.
Okay, all right. You're making a moral judgment on me personally from my shoes, huh?
You are likely to be let in for more bad pairs than good.
He's calling me a dirty little shoe slut right now.
He is. He really is. The boot market is flooded with trash of all sorts, made up for the eye and not for the feet. The worst feature in this arrangement is that unless you are in trade or know something about it, it is impossible to estimate the value of the article you buy. As I know a little on this subject, I may mention some boots to be avoided. So this might be why A. Lounger is so insistent on the Latin in this chapter in particular, because he has to prove that he is a gentleman despite knowing all the things a tradesman would know.
I was just about to say, so this is doubling down, if you're just joining us for our review of A Lounger and his dressing guide, we are forming a pretty substantiated conspiracy here that A Lounger is in fact a tradesman of at least clothing and possibly familiar enough to call himself able to judge the value of shoes. So this is a tradesman who does not want you to realize he is a tradesman.
Or he is a gentleman who desperately does not want to be mistaken for a tradesman.
I doubt that sincerely.
Because he actually knows things?
Because he knows a lot.
Returning to A Lounger and Boots. There is one sort, machine-made, without welts, and soles riveted on, not one stitch in them.
Disgusting.
You may be let in by good-looking Northampton work with soles to all outward appearance capable of resisting a deluge, but which, in reality, consists of a thin outside of leather which covers in bits and dabs of padding, as a Whitechapel cigar, beautiful to the eye, is but an envelope of tobacco crammed with tea leaves and decayed garden produce.
I mean, wow. What a painting.
Then there are French boots and shoes, imported in immense quantity, lovely to look on, but bootless for wear.
Bootless.
Get it?
Nothing sadder than a bootless boot.
I am assured the soles of these are composed of leather shreds, acted on by some solvent and rolled into sheets by heavy pressure. So it's the plywood of leather.
Wow. I mean, you know, that does sound cheap.
In wet or moderately damp weather, they melt like ice before the fire and are incapable of being mended. The best plan is to go to a good bootmaker, one long established, who has his leather laid in some years to season, and get your boots to measure. Once he has fitted you to satisfaction, purchase the lasts, and have your boots made thereon ever after.
That seems expensive, A Lounger.
It seems like, due to the points A Lounger has made, boots are one of the areas in fashion where you cannot skimp.
I suppose.
Those familiar with Terry Pratchett might find this whole you can't skimp on boots thing rather familiar, because it plays into the Captain Samuel Vimes boots theory of socioeconomic unfairness. Does that ring any bells, Dee?
Yes, actually, I am familiar with that.
If I may read the quote.
Please do.
The reason that the rich were so rich, Vimes reasoned, was because they managed to spend less money. Take boots, for example. He earned $38 a month plus allowances. A really good pair of leather boots cost $50, but an affordable pair of boots, which were the sort of okay for a season or two and then leaked like hell when the cardboard gave out, cost about $10. Those were the kinds of boots Vimes always bought and wore until the soles were so thin that he could tell where he was in Ankh-Morpork on a foggy night by the feel of the cobbles. But the thing was that good boots lasted for years and years. A man who could afford $50 had a pair of boots that he'd still be keeping his feet dry in 10 years' time, while the poor man who could only afford cheap boots would have spent $100 on boots in the same time and would still have wet feet. This was the Captain Samuel Vimes boots theory of socioeconomic unfairness.
And he was right.
Now, before we got lost in the boots hole, I did mention the phrase, once he has fitted you to satisfaction, purchase the lasts and have your boots made thereon ever after. Dee, do you know what purchase the lasts means?
Well, yes, the lasts are kind of like the dress form, but for a shoe. So if you've got a nice last made from which you own a pair of boots that you are pleased with, then you have a wonderful starting point for any other cobbler you want to make boots.
Exactly. I had no idea, but I did have a very handy document compiled by our listener Sarah Soes, who helped us out with the warp and weft in previous chapters, and afterwards emailed us a document of footnotes for the rest of the book.
Which was absolutely wonderful.
Which is amazing. And yeah, according to Sarah Soes, lasts are the carved foot models for making custom shoes on. Now we know.
And they would be a huge economic resource for having things made bespoke. Since you wouldn't, when you brought it to a cobbler, you wouldn't have to waste any time or money on having him, you know, carve out your foot to make the shoe around. You just have it.
Exactly. Returning to the words of A Lounger. In price, you must not expect to get good boots too low. 30 shillings per pair is a fair price all round. For wear, I question the economy of buying any cheaper. If you want fit and style, you cannot get them for less. Break in new boots by wearing them frequently in the house before trusting yourself out in them a whole day at a stretch.
I don't trust myself out in these boots. I'm a loose cannon.
How many a pleasant outing has been spoiled by too confidingly putting on new boots in the morning?
I mean mood, though. He right, though.
Oh, the aching at midday. Oh, the agony in the evening. No joy can compensate for the misery of tight boots.
It's true.
Even Rosherville, proverbial for a happy day, will fail to soothe the afflicted soul tormented with pedal callous... tormented with pedal callosities.
Rosherville? What?
According to Wikipedia, Rosherville Gardens was a 19th century pleasure garden in a disused chalk pit in Gravesend, Kent, England.
That sounds awful, but okay.
They had a lot of concerts and county fair type stuff there.
And in disused chalk...
In a disused chalk pit, yes.
You know, all we use our disused, like, gravel pits around here for is dumping bodies.
Did you have a busy weekend?
You know, for legal reasons, I can't really discuss it. But yes.
Returning to a lounger. If you wear elastic-sided boots, do not have them made with mock buttons or imitation lacings. Avoid fancy filigree machine stitching and boots of grained goatskin or crinkled leather. They are never worn by gentlemen, but obtain great favor with cads and snobs.
Oh, so he's saying that's too showy?
It's a bit outré, I think.
Ah, it's a little on the tacky side.
It's a little bit velvet leopard print.
I gotta say, though, filigree stitching sounds pretty tight, and I'm gonna disagree with him on that point.
Doesn't it, though? That sounds boss as hell.
Yeah, I'm gonna say he's wrong on that, and I would like to see that.
Should I be honored by lovely woman glancing over these pages, I would say the same style of boot worn by her sex is ill-adapted to any above the social rank of general servant and mile-end mantua maker.
What the fuck does... All right, can you help me... What?
He's saying, on the off chance that a lady is looking over this book for gentlemen, he doesn't want her to wear filigree boots either because they are boots worn by servants and factory workers.
You know what, buddy? That all right, now that's just classist.
Yes. Yes, it is. Extremely so.
Like, excuse my ass if I want to have some pretty filigree boots when I go to work.
And Sarah Soes helpfully adds, Mile End was beginning to be the center of small sweatshop-based manufacturing at this time. Also where I lived in London.
Oh, wow. Man, Sarah Soes is the MVP, I gotta say.
Truly, truly. Returning to a lounger. Would you be dry-shod in snowy weather?
Yes.
Purchase a dip candle and before the fire rub it into the welts and uppers as far as the galosh. Also the soles themselves, and rough them afterwards with two or three small brads hammered halfway in.
Oh, so this is like weatherproofing advice?
Yes. Which includes making cleats out of your boots.
That sounds like not great. All right, so this is just one of those details that you might know. Did they not have the kind of like strap-on cleats that we have now? Because that seems like an almost universal kind of solution for cleating a shoe. Because hammering brads into it seems like it would compromise the quality and the longevity of a shoe.
I haven't found any reference to strap-on cleats, but I also haven't been looking for strap-on cleats in Victorian literature.
All right, yeah, because it seems like a couple of springs and wires and you'd have like a cleat you could just kind of slap on.
Further research is required.
If I had just gone through all of the hassle of having custom boots made and purchasing my hand-carved lasts, I'm not just going to go get a bunch of, like, upholstery tacking and slam it into my nice shoes. I'll trust that the waxing is probably, like, that was the done thing. That seems about right.
It was the done thing, but Sarah Soes does not recommend it for modern footwear.
I am going to wholeheartedly agree with her there. That sounds solid.
Actual leather care wax is... better than a random candle.
Yeah, they do have waterproofing wax made for shoe leather. We live in a world of stunning technologies and we should take full advantage of it.
One word more on boots and then my subject will be completely polished off.
Oh, I get it. It took a minute. Oh, a lounger.
Oh, a lounger, you cad. You absolute card.
Oh, he's absolutely not a cad. He doesn't wear filigreed boots.
Or at least he wants us to think he doesn't.
Ooh, he's skulking out at night to the card tables in filigreed boots.
When patent leather begins to lose its lacquered brilliancy, its case is past liquid renovator or French varnish.
Liquid renovator?
Yeah, liquid renovator is my new metal band name.
That sounds so good, yeah.
Have them blacked and polished. You will find this plan answers best, and for all boots, use the liquid blacking in jars, which is more preservative for leather than the paste.
I mean, I'll trust him on that too.
The latter, I am told, often contains an undue quantity of oil of vitriol.
Yeah, got some sharp opinions, that paste.
Much like the Antiques Freaks.
Much like your fond hosts, it contains too much vitriol.
An undue quantity of oil of vitriol does this podcast contain. I'm pretty sure some of our one-star reviews have said that.
I was gonna probably, yeah.
And that is all a lounger has to say on boots.
I mean, that's pretty succinct. It definitely seems like his advice is the one thing you should go for broke on is boots. I'm going to take him to task briefly that so far he has said that three times, and he's going to have to really be more selective about which article I fully and unrestrainedly spend money on, because it can't be the pants, the jacket, and the boots. It's going to have to be, this is for economy, and I have to ration this out.
He just really wants to make sure your clothes aren't made of paper.
I want that too, sir, but I didn't buy a book on economy because I had a lot of money. Well, I guess I bought a book, so.
Yeah, you had enough money to buy a book, so you're doing pretty well.
Wait, oh shit, this is why I'm running out of money. yeah, but I do think for once he is completely correct that shoes are worth making an investment on, and that remains true.
It does. If you would like to give us your opinion on A. Lounger's suggestions, you can email us directly, antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com. You can post in our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends, or you can tag us on Tumblr, antiquesfreaks.tumblr.com.
If you liked all of the Latin that we said today, and all of the Latin we made fun of, consider scrolling on down to wherever you're listening to this podcast and leaving us a, I don't know, maybe a 5-star review or a 1-star review if you think we contain too much oil of vitriol. Either way, the reviews are extremely helpful, and we appreciate every single one, even the hateful ones.
Yay! If you want more of this good A-Lounger content, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks, where we have special video presentations of some chapters we have not yet got to by Guy Alias, Drag King Extraordinaire.
Who, by the way, thank you to his wonderful performances, is all I can picture every time we visit The Gentleman's Guide to Dressing with Economy. He has fully occupied the space of A-Lounger in my heart.
He also did a special Halloween presentation for us of the poem The Fairies. Very spooky. And we are continuing our bonus episodes of Varney the Vampire or The Feast of Blood, a Penny Dreadful that is far more dreadful than Penny.
We are committed to it, and we're going to see it to the end.
And considering it's about 500 chapters, it's going to take us a bit.
So come on the journey with us, won't you?
Special shout out to our current patrons for paying our hosting fees and filling our hearts with love.
So much love.
And thank you in particular for listening.
That's right, you.
Au revoir.
Goodbye.